Let us pray. Lord, sometimes it feels like we are lost at sea, struggling to find our way. We pray for Tom, facing surgery this week on Friday. We ask that he would find relief from the neck and shoulder pain that have made him unable to work for several weeks. Care too for Bill, whose knee pain has gotten a little better, but hasn't gone away. We lift up Sandy's friends, Joan and Willie, as Joan's health continues to decline, and ask you to watch over Terry, who was hospitalized again last week with pneumonia. We are grateful that she is back home. Lord, we pray for my mother-in-law, Jane, who made another trip to the ER this week as she continues her slow up and down recovery from pneumonia as well. Thank you that my dad seems to be healing well, little by little, and that Gail's sister, Pauline, is recovering well after a fall that broke her arm. We pray for others recovering still from injuries from falls, for DeLois and B, for Michelle, for John. Bless those battling cancer. We pray for the loved ones walking this journey alongside them too. We pray for Val, for Samantha, Chris, and Lucy, and Steve. We celebrate Lori's miraculous turnaround and pray for continued healing. Lord, we pray too for those who have died as they pass from life into life, for the families they leave behind. We pray for Terry, whose mother died, and for Cheryl, grieving her husband Bob. We lift up Jim, whose grandmother passed away at the age of 102 last week. God, we pray for the family of Wayne Everly, who died recently. We celebrate his faithful service as a pastor of this church family. We pray, too, for a daughter who's been diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis. We pray for Gail traveling to Ohio for follow-up tests, and for her grandson, Scott, traveling with her. We ask for strength and fortitude for all of the volunteers preparing for Brethren National Junior High Conference. We thank you for the blessings of family. Lord, the tempest is raging, and we need each other. Can't seem to find shelter from the storm. We pray for our world, for the people of Ukraine and Sudan and Nigeria, for all those living in the shadow of violence. We pray for your abiding presence with the many immigrants who are using the Central Mediterranean route, one of the most dangerous migration routes in the world. We pray for the families of those who died on the unsafe vessels leaving Northern Africa, hoping to reach Italy or at least Malta, who didn't make it. Lord, have mercy. We pray for our nation, for the anger stoked by those who profit from division. May we walk in your paths of peace. We pray for members of the LGBT community, especially parents and children feeling hurt and marginalized by our society amidst the news of new legislation around the country. Bless people of color in our church family and in our community as our nation continues its ongoing wrestling with racism in our institutions and in our own hearts. Make us faithful stewards of your creation, tending and caring for the earth that is our home. Draw us together, Lord, working with one another to find our way, following your Spirit wherever it may lead. Come, Holy Spirit, grow in us, stir in us new life that we might be set free and that our liberation might set others free as well, making our way through the storm together. Amen.
Honest. How many of you knew that there was an epic shipwreck story in the book of Acts? Many, there's a couple out there, okay. Do not feel badly if this is the first time you have heard this story. It was a seminary discovery for me. And it's really unfortunate because it's not a story we read often, but there is this long tradition of treacherous sea journeys in literature that invite us into broader ways of thinking about the adventurous nature of life, lived as an ongoing journey of growth and discovery. Perhaps as Jay was reading, you began to think of the Odyssey or even of Jonah. I spent some time relooking at The Tempest this week, because the sea does something to us. The sea is all at once a source of life and a source of death, a place of peace and also one of terror. Like the winds and the storm, these stories, these epic stories, stir up our fear, our anticipation. They stir up heroism and faith and change, and at their best, they invite us to see ourselves in them. Over the last few weeks, during our Building Blocks worship series, we have been exploring how the early church, the one that we see in the book of Acts, continued to learn and grow as the Holy Spirit moved among them. Rather than seeing the church as fully formed from the beginning, we have discovered over and over again how the church then and the church now must continue to figure it out. We began with Jesus's ascension and the apprehension of the disciples as his mission becomes their mission. But Jesus's departure comes with a promise that the Spirit will be with them. We are not alone. And then the Spirit did come in Acts 2, like wind and like flames. And the miracle of Pentecost became a group of diverse people from all over the world listening to one another, truly listening in order to understand, such that the church is birthed in listening, which led to a vision of community where we invest in one another, actually sharing our lives, actually sharing who we are with one another. And in the work of sharing, we see that the church grows, at which point it gets too large for the apostles to meet and even notice the needs of everyone. And so the church makes some course corrections. They elected deacons. They spread out the ministry among the people, recognizing that a diverse set of leaders can see the people and see the needs that get missed if all of us who are in leadership look and think the same. And last week, the Spirit invited us to embrace curiosity. The church had to unlearn some of what it thought it knew in order to be faithful, a truth that rings just as clearly now as it did then. The Spirit continues to call us out beyond ourselves, out into more welcome and more growth. The story of Acts has been the unfolding story of a community. Luke, who is the author, has always had an eye on the community of faith and how that community moves from this small group of afraid, who is afraid and hiding in Jerusalem, out in, and they move out to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. In many ways, Rome becomes the end of the earth in Luke's story. And today we have the treacherous journey to get there, during which we see an unlikely community where the lives of each one depend on the salvation or the survival of everyone. Now, Paul is perhaps the most outspoken prisoner in the history of the world. And he warns everyone that, you know what, guys, the season for sailing has passed and we probably shouldn't go out. But the sailors think they can make it, and so off they go. Of course, they are caught up in a terrible storm and things look bleak for days and days. Now keep in mind, there are three distinct groups on board this ship. There are the prisoners, like Paul. They are clearly the most vulnerable people in this story, even though Paul seems to be in charge, even when he's a prisoner. There are soldiers. These soldiers are bound by their sense of duty, their need to protect and not let the prisoners escape, even suggesting at one point that they should just kill the prisoners so that they don't risk them escaping. And then there are the sailors. The sailors illustrate the everyone for themselves attitude of the group. At one point, they try to abandon the ship under the guise of checking on the depth of the water. But Paul's consistent message for these three groups is that they must make it together. Salvation is found in making sure no one is left behind. It can be a challenge for the modern church to think in similar ways. We live in a culture where the message and mission of Jesus often gets reduced to a personal salvation wrapped up in, where am I going to go when I die? And this story counters that individualized image of faith, forcing us to recognize the ways that our lives are connected. And so our liberation and freedom and salvation are caught up in the liberation, freedom, and salvation of the most vulnerable around us. We cannot have one without the other. Now, there is no shortage of proverbial stormy weather surrounding the church or any of us these days. You can insert your own crisis depending on what it is that caused you the most anxiety. Perhaps it is deep-seated division or climate change or declining commitment to institutions, difficulty in finding common ground, increased pressures around work-life balance. The list is long when it comes to things that make us feel like we are adrift or unmoored. And in those moments, the temptation to look out only for ourselves or to hold on so tightly to a sense of duty that we fail to see the people around us can make us behave like the sailors or the soldiers on the ship with Paul. And so the church needs the reminder again and again and again that none of us really make it unless all of us do. To me, the most striking scene in this shipwreck story is perhaps the confidence and hope of Paul, who in the midst of the storm and in preparation to let go of control of the ship, to allow the wind to blow them onto shore, Paul takes bread, breaks it, blesses it, and shares it with the community. Perhaps you recognize that ritual, breaking bread, blessing it, and sharing it. The early readers would not have missed the reference to the Last Supper, the reference to the act of taking communion together. It reflects a deep understanding of what can be controlled and what cannot. This group on the ship is about to loosen the ropes on the rudder, letting go of the ability to steer in the hopes of not damaging the rudder more for later. They will cut the anchors that hold them fast to what they know, and they will raise a sail in the storm and allow the wind to blow where it will. They cannot control the storm, and they know it. So they control what they can. They control who they are in the midst of stress and fear. They return to bread, simple, real, and symbolic nourishment. They share it with one another, making sure everyone gets some. And in that act, they remember that they belong to each other and they belong to God. It is an image of church that serves us well. We belong to one another and we belong to God. No matter what comes, no matter the storm, no matter what it is that we have to figure out next, we belong to one another, and we belong to God. May it be so. Amen.
See you.
shipwreck is not the ending of the book of Acts. Paul does eventually make it to Rome, but the meeting with Caesar, this event to which the last several chapters of Acts have been building, doesn't get recorded. Instead, the book ends with Paul spending a few years proclaiming the kingdom of God to anyone who would welcome the news, to Jew and Gentile alike. We find in Acts 28, it reads, "When we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." It feels unfinished, like that couldn't possibly be the end. Luke has been such an intentional writer throughout, it's hard to imagine that he would just stop, unless he means for the story to be unfinished, for it to still be unfolding 2,000 years later, for the church to still be building itself, brick by brick and person by person. For the Spirit to still be moving and us to still be learning and growing. The story is unfinished. We are continuing it. Even now, we are the ones figuring it out. William Willimon writes, "You and I live in the continuation of the story of Acts. Acts must close in an open-ended fashion, with the doors still open for work and witness rather than closed by death, because the Spirit is still active." Luke is not simply writing history. He writes the story of the Spirit incarnate in people like you, people like me. So go, be the church. Empowered by the Spirit, held in the love of God and each other, go. Tell your stories, serve those around you, and grow. Amen.
Siblings, now who will take lead? Hear all the voices and plant them as seed. Now the beginning, who's willing to go? It's us, and our story continues to grow.
Alleluia, the great storm is over.
Thank you. Good to be with you all.